Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. This is the highlight of your week right now. Say it is? Yeah, I just told you it is. Praise God. You needed to know that because this is where your life can change forever. You know, it was, I look back in my life and I see different monumental times and seasons and how many of those were associated with a direction change or a life change, and it came from one service. Hearing one thing, you know, when Jesus went around the earth, if you look at his ministry, he turned the world upside down. He set people free. He saved people. He changed their lives. But if you look at his ministry, the very first thing Jesus did everywhere he went, the Bible said, was he opened his mouth and he preached and taught the word of God. He said the main thing that's going to change people's lives and turn them around first and foremost is the preaching and teaching of God's word. God's word will transform your life. You're looking at transformation today. Praise God. But hallelujah. Father, help us this morning. May I say what needs to be said? Father, we're not here for the man behind the pulpit or the name on the sign out front. We're here because of Jesus. We're here because of you, Father, and the Holy Ghost, and for your precious word. Now help us. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Father, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Fill my mouth with boldness this morning. Fill my mouth with utterance. And I thank you, Father, that people came out here this morning not to play church, not to go through the motions, but to have an encounter with you. And so, Father, I thank you that I'm going to say things this morning that are going to be so specific to every person's heart. There's going to be certain things I say that people are going to wonder, how in the world did he know that I needed to hear that? And the truth is, Father, I didn't know, but you did. And Father, it'll be a sign unto people that you love them, that you have a better tomorrow for them, that you want to be a part of their life, that, Father, that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from heaven. So, Father, we thank you for what's about to take place in this service. We thank you for the change that's coming from this one service. And we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Hebrews 4, in verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, a lot of people, they'll look at the Bible as a boring book or something that's just sitting on the shelf or something you can't understand. You're looking at the Bible wrong. How would the Bible change if the Bible to you was a personal letter from God? Amen? What if you looked at it as that when he wrote what he had these writers wrote, or influenced them or inspired them to write what they wrote, that he had you on his mind? Hallelujah. He did. See, the Bible's not just a set of words or rules and regulations. The Bible is God's written word to you personally, to tell you who he is, to reveal himself. You see, I'm so sick of and tired of religion. And you think, you're a pastor, you're all about religion. No, I hate religion. I'm pro-relationship. People have been turned away from God because of religion, because religion will suck the life out of you. But the relationship will add the life that you need, praise God. And so many people are so turned off by it because it's all just a set of traditions and rules and regulations. No, it's about a relationship, and it starts with the Father writing to you personally. Amen? Letting you know what he wants. And when he gives us this verse here, if you'll look at it through that lens, it'll change your life. I always call this verse heaven's invitation. Because he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What's he saying? Come to where I am. Amen. God's not pushing you away. God's not mad at you. God's not angry. He's saying, come to me. But notice what he says. It's a throne of grace. See, you here that have a wrong idea that God's after you, that God's your problem. God's not your problem. He sits on a throne of grace and mercy. He wants to help you. He wants to bless your every area of life. He didn't send his son Jesus to then make your life hard. He didn't send his son Jesus to then trip you up financially and physically. No. He sent Jesus to save you, to give you abundant life. And he says, come unto me, boldly, under the throne of grace. What is he saying? Come to where I am. Why? That we may obtain. What's he saying? Come unto me. I'm a place where you can receive from. in the time and help in time of need. And so he's saying, when you're struggling, when you have things that are lacking, when you have things that are missing, my presence, my place of where I am is where your answers are. Hallelujah. He's saying, I'm not your problem, I'm your solution. And see, the devil would love to tell you that God's your problem. Why? Because if God's your problem, you're going to avoid the problem. And why would the devil want you to avoid God? Because he is your solution and the devil knows it. Amen. And he'll influence other people to tell you garbage like, well, God's just doing this to you. God's doing that to you. This just to what? Separate you from God. But the Father, in a love letter written to you, says, here's my invitation for you. Listen, when you get an invitation to something, that is proof, or that is telling you, I am wanted there. They want me there. And if you don't get an invitation, don't be a wedding crasher. You're not wanted there. Amen? You don't get an invite to the party, take a hint. Amen? But God is saying, take a hint this way. I gave you an invitation. Come to me, praise God. I have help for you. Hallelujah. But there's something in that verse that we can't leave out. God didn't just say things to say them. He's a specific, on-target, bullseye God. And he says that, yeah, come into my presence. I have a throne of grace to help you. Yeah, he says that. But he says you have to come with something. He says, don't show up here with the wrong thing. What's he saying? Let us therefore come with our tail between our legs, timid and shy, nervous, in a spirit of doubt and unbelief, thinking we'll never receive from God because woe is me. Why would God want to do anything for me? That's not what he says. He says in order. He says come boldly, that's confidently, to the throne of grace. What's the throne of grace? The throne of grace is the place of receiving. He's saying be bold in that place. Why? That we may obtain. So if you don't do what he says to do, the that we may obtain is going to be lost on you. You can show up at the right place and get turned away, even though you're in the right place, if you don't bring the right thing. Recently, I had gone to California on a trip to see for a conference out there for Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church. And I took the early flight out, and it left a little after 7 o'clock, but the boarding time was 6:40. And so I'm in line to board, and there's a gentleman in front of me, and his plane ticket says California. It says to leave out of Buffalo. It says this is his gate. Everything is right where he's supposed to be. But the lady at the ticket counter that's checking people to get on the plane, she says, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. This ticket says 6:40 p.m. So he's 12 hours early. And there's wasn't a whole lot to do there, you know. But anyways, he got turned away. Now, why am I saying that? He's in the right place. He's in the right place. He's exactly where he needs to be, but he brought the wrong thing with him. And he got turned around. And so many Christians, they're going to God, oh, Father, oh, help me, oh, Lord, but they're not bringing the right thing. They're bringing doubt and unbelief. They're bringing worry. They're bringing fear. They're bringing timidness. Is that a word? Timidness. They're bringing that with them. And they wonder, why aren't I receiving? God just must not be for me. No, maybe, just maybe we need to tweak some things. Maybe, just maybe, we should start actually doing what he says to do. He says you can obtain, you can have from me, but he says you got to come to my presence and you got to show up with the right thing. Boldness and confidence. And let's be honest, most people aren't very confident before God. But he's saying you come confidently, you come boldly, praise God. Now go with me to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24 is a receiving verse. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with this, this verse ought to be like a light bulb going off for you. It ought to be like a lifeline going off for you to help you to realize your life does not have to stay the same way. Amen? Just so you know, just because you were dealt a certain hand doesn't mean that that can't change. Amen? Faith changes the natural. And in Mark 11:24, the Bible says this. This is Jesus talking. It doesn't show it up there, but in my Bible, this is red letters. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you personally desire, he says, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Well, isn't the end of the verse where we want to get to? The and you'll having it? Well, what's it talking about? Well, what things you desire, things you need, things you want, things that are lacking in your life. You know, I think about the man that made this verse really kind of popular in our circles, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, who's gone home to be with Jesus, but he built his ministry on this verse and the word of faith and teaching people how to change the natural circumstance and how to get the promises of God to actually become a reality in your life. And it came through this verse. And he was a young man laying on a sick bed. Actually, it was a death bed. He was told he was going to die. The pastor of his family came in, basically told him there's no hope for him. Give it up. You know, he's going to go to heaven. And as a young man, you know, he didn't want to die. Didn't want to leave the earth at that point. And so he had been reading his Bible, and he came across this verse. And this verse, when you're hurting, this verse ought to jump out to you. Because the Bible says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you'll have them. It's your way to get out of your mess. It's a way to get into something different, is what this verse is. And so he read that, and it was like, wow. The Bible says I can desire something and it'll change. Well, when you're sick, there's nothing more you desire than healing. When you're bedridden and sick in body, especially as a young man, you can't go out and all your friends are playing and doing all sorts of things. You want healing. And so he said, I qualify, I desire. And nothing was changing. Time went by. And he kept going back, being led to go back to that verse. And just like in Hebrews chapter 4, there's a little key in that verse that you can't leave out. You have to show up boldly. Well, God says you can have things. But he says that when you pray. Now think about the statement, when you pray. When you pray is when you're sick. When you pray is when you're broke. When you pray is when hell on earth is happening. That's why you're praying to him. That's why you've gone to him. And didn't he invite us to come to him in a time of need? Absolutely. And so when we pray prayers in his presence, that's when the turmoil's the worst. That's when the symptoms are in your body. That's when the calculator and the checkbook is saying negative things and the bills in your life. That's when your family is going the wrong way and things are looking off and all sorts of things in your job and situations with people. But he says, when you pray in that place of struggle and in that place of need, for this to work, you are to believe you receive it when you pray. And this is the tripping point for so many people. Because do you know how bold and confident you have to be when symptoms are raging in your body and you release your faith, and at the moment that symptoms are raging in your body, you walk out of that place saying, I got it, I got my healing. Do you know how bold you have to be? But that's what he says he wants. Do you know how bold you have to be that when you go in his presence and your finances are all out of whack and you need money, and you believe, you receive, and you walk out of that and say, I got it. And nothing's changed in your finances. Nothing's changed with your paycheck. Nothing's changed with your bills. Nothing's changed with your debt. You still have debt up to your eyeballs, up to the ceiling. Your paycheck's still not enough. But you walk out of this, it's mine. Money's coming. Or that situation with my kids, it's turned. It's changed. It's over now. Hallelujah. Now see, here's what you have to understand. When you pray, believe you receive them, the majority, 99.9% of the time, in the natural realm, it doesn't change. It doesn't. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 6:12 that it takes faith and patience. Because there's natural things on the earth, but it'll work if you work it. It might take some time, some patience, some longer than others, but I'll tell you what. I heard a line in a verse that's so true, that when you trust God, you don't need to understand. I don't remember how the verse goes, but it's a good song, you know. But then that line says, when I trust you, I don't need to understand. And when you trust God that he's working on your situation, the time don't matter to you. You've figured out in your head. It doesn't matter. If you trust him, you don't need to understand. And so you walk out of that place and you say, I received it, even though the natural has not changed. Do you know how bold and confident you have to be in that place? Well, that's where most people can't get to. Or I shouldn't say can't get to, that's where most people don't ever get to. And they continue in their life with the same things over and over. Why? Because God expects something. He doesn't move based on your moaning and groaning. He doesn't move based on your whining and crying. You know what gets God to move? Your faith gets God to move. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you paying attention now. Come on. He gets you to move by faith. And in Mark 11, 24, he says, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, in that moment of the worst, you are to believe you got it from me. Yeah. Amen? You are to believe it's yours. Well, how do we get to that place? Well, I have your answer today. I have your answer today. I guess you're not excited. I said I have your answer today. Are you happy or not? If you don't want me to change your life, we'll just cut it short right now. You tell me. Someone already blessed me. I have a secret chicken barbecue admirer in this church. Last week, I got a little note telling me, here's $20 for your chicken barbecue, and I got it 2 times in a row. So I have a secret admirer. I'm happy to go get my chicken now if you'd like. Whoever you are, please know you are not obligated to do it, but don't stop if you don't want to. I'll take it every week. Praise God. And they didn't put their name on it, so no pressure if you stop. I can't figure out your handwriting. I'm trying to figure out your handwriting, but I can't do it. So anyways, but I have your answer to change your life today. I'm telling you, change everything for you. Because God says in Hebrews 4:16, you come here boldly or you don't receive. He said in Mark 11:24, you in my presence better be bold and believe that you got it from me. Now you say, what does that mean? We have it if it doesn't show up. He's talking about hooking it in the spirit realm. What's that mean? Believing in the unseen realm that the unseen realm is now on that problem and it's going to show up in the natural. Amen? That's what he's saying. You hook it in the spirit realm. It doesn't mean naturally as it's showing up, but you walk out of that place of prayer, say, it's mine. And Brother Hagin got that revelation. As a sick young man on his bed of sickness and death, he got that, oh, I got to believe it before I receive it. And so Brother Hagin started saying, I got it. I got my healing. I'm going to raise up. And when you got your promise, you start talking different. You start acting different. And he would have to lay in bed and he would struggle and say, you know, a well person at this time of day would ought to try to get out of bed. And he'd struggle to try to get out of bed. Why? Because he knows I'm healed, so I'm going to act like a healed person. Amen. And he got it. And I could tell you testimony after testimony of this verse changing things for me. But how do we get to that place? Because that's what it requires. That's what it requires. It's not going to come just because you deserve it. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you believe for. You don't even get what you need, you get what you believe for. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 10:17. I'm going to help you get there today. Romans 10:17. Praise his name forevermore. This is called today, if you want to take notes, called confidence in prayer. Confidence in that place of receiving. Now notice this. Faith is believing. He says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, we've talked about this verse a lot, you know, and I'll say it again because it rings true. If you're struggling in an area and the situation or the symptoms are bigger than your faith, here's how you get faith for it. So they're telling me it's impossible, Pastor Mike. The calculator's telling me it's impossible. That this situation's been going on for years. I know. Those things are loud, aren't they? Those things are in your face. They testify against the very promises of God, and they try to convince you that God's word isn't true. Well, you got to have faith to rise up above that if you're going to believe you receive before you have it. And the Bible tells you how to get it. It says to hear the word of God over and over. Doesn't it say that? If you're struggling with faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for your kids, faith for anything, faith for a spouse, faith for a child, whatever, I'll get you scripture on it. You hear it over and over again, faith will rise up in your heart. And you'll be in that place of boldness where you can grab that thing in the spirit. But I want to take this at a different angle this morning. I want to show you why this is the way it is and how it'll help you. Romans 10:17 says that faith or the belief or the boldness or the confidence comes when you hear and hear the word of God. Well, what did I talk about in the beginning of the service that the word is? The word is a love letter from him to you. The word is his will. Now, let me tell you what his will is. Now, if somebody leaves a natural will for somebody, and your name's in that will, and they have things allocated to you, money, material things, property, whatever it is, their possessions. When they leave that in their will, what are they saying? They are saying, I want this for you. Okay? So now the word of God is the will of God. Now think about this. When you hear the word on something, it's not just what the word says, it's actually what God wants for you. And if God wants something, nothing on earth can stop it. When God wanted the children of Israel to go across the Red Sea and there were no boats, no bridges, right? No canoes, no life rafts, it didn't matter to God. Why? All that mattered is that's what he wanted. Yeah, when God wanted the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spared in the fiery furnace, it didn't matter that it was impossible. It didn't matter that nobody could survive that. God wanted it. That's all that mattered. And his word is his will for you. That's him saying, I don't just say this, I want this for you. How would that change things if you'd look at what you're believing for in the word and know this is not just what he says, this is what God wants for me. Amen. And it says to hear it over and over again. Well, he worked this with Peter. Go to John 21 and verse 15. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to show you here. John 21, 15. Praise God. I think it's true. My grandma was right. You know, she didn't know a lot about the Bible, but she was true. She said, Michael, you are wound up like an 8-day clock. I am. I'm wound up. Wound up tonight or this morning. Praise God. Fired up about changing your life. John 21, 15. When they had dined, Jesus said to Peter. Now, here's what you have to understand about where we're at in the time frame here. This is after Jesus died and rose again. Okay? This is after Jesus had been taken captive and crucified. Well, what do we know happened with Jesus and Peter prior to his crucifixion? Peter had a oops moment, didn't he? Jesus told Peter, when the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Before he crows, you're going to deny me three times. So he said to him. And what happened? Peter denied Jesus. And what do we find Peter after denied Jesus? He was heartbroken. He was so sad, right? Here's a man that he was with for 3.5 years that hand-selected him. That when Jesus went into the toughest of things, he brought three people with him, Peter, James, and John. Yeah. Here Peter saw all the marvelous works of Jesus, hand-picked, hand-selected by Jesus, saw the signs, wonders, and miracles. And now in Jesus' darkest time on the earth, Peter doesn't even act like he knows him. Right. Peter denies him to one of the people he denied him to was a little girl. Said, I don't know who he is. Don't associate me with him. That broke Peter's heart, didn't it? Now you can imagine, have you ever sinned before? Probably not, right? I mean, you're all probably perfect, but... And have you ever sinned and missed it and just felt so bad? And think to yourself, I've been at this church stuff or this Christianity, and I'm still doing that. Anyone been there, or is it just me? Hallelujah. Where you're like, how on earth could I? And what? You beat yourself up. Condemnation. And you think, I'm not worthy. Well, can you imagine those kind of thoughts Peter was having? With Jesus. See him face to face. 3.5 years. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hand selected. Top 3 out of the 12. And now he says, I don't know who you are. You can imagine that Peter probably pretty much expected, he's done. I'm disqualified from doing anything for God. But we find Jesus talking to him after that had happened. And he said, Simon, Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yep, Lord, you know that I love you. Look what Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Well, that's one time. Remember what the Bible says? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said to him, you know that I love you, Lord. He said to him, feed my sheep. Third time, he said to him, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Well, when Jesus opened his mouth, what was it? The word of God. But what is the word of God? The word of God is the will of God. The will of God telling you this is what I, the God of the universe, want for you. And if I want it for you, no thought can keep you out of it. No amount of money, no amount of opposition. If I want this for you, Peter. But see, Peter needed to believe that. But what does feed my sheep mean? What's feeding the sheep mean? He's in ministry again. Jesus is saying to him, you are not disqualified. You are going to rise up and you are going to feed the sheep. You are qualified. You're going to be in a position where you feed them and help them. And he was. He went on and turned the world upside down, didn't he? Changed the world. Thousands born again under his ministry. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But how did Peter get there? How did he get to a place of faith and boldness and rising up to receive what Jesus had for him? How? He heard the will of God over and over and over and over. Jesus kept saying, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. What's he saying? I want you to know that I want you to feed the sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. So how do we get there? How do we get to the place that's required for us to receive when hell on earth's going on around us, when it's invading our minds, invading our flesh, all we can see is backwards and going the wrong way? How do we get there? It's all centered on knowing God's will. If you can know and find out God's will for your situation, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. If you can find out what the will of God on your situation financially, it does not matter what your checkbook says. Yeah. Amen. You think about Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old, 90 years old for her, having a baby. Nothing medically, no science, no pills, no therapy, no nothing can fix that. But God said, you're having a baby. That's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Matthew 8 and verse 1. What am I teaching you? How to be so confident in prayer to leave that place knowing your situation's changing. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1 says, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you wilt. That just means in a newer language would say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Well, notice what this guy was saying. Saying, Jesus, I have no doubt you can. But where my faith struggles is, will you? Are you willing? He's saying, I'm not struggling with knowing if you can do it. I'm struggling to know, do you want to? Will you do it? Do you see that there? And let's be honest, with most of our situations, we don't struggle with can God. Because why? We've been spoon-fed since we were little, even though it's not true because God needs our faith. But we've been spoon-fed what? God can do anything. God can do anything he wants to. So we don't struggle with can he. We know he can. All things are easy for him. The Bible says all things are possible. Nothing's too hard for him. We know that. And this leper knew that. This isn't hard for you. But where he struggled to receive was what? I don't know if you want to do it for me. And that's where you struggle. Praise God. Now look at this. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And what did he say? He said, I got to correct this guy's thinking. The first thing Jesus said out of his mouth is, I'm willing. I'm willing. I need you to know I'm willing for you to receive. I'm willing. And look what happened. Be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So what was Jesus saying? Well, if you're going to receive from me, we got to deal with this whole problem here of can and will. Why? Because faith doesn't rest on abilities. Let me say that again. You will not receive from God in your promise because you are sold out that he can. Why? Because it's not true faith. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's say a billionaire came into town and was having a convention. And a billionaire, you know, a billionaire, I don't care how much debt you have in here, a billionaire could pay all of our debts combined and not even lose a wink of sleep over it. Well, you would know that the billionaire can take care of all your debts. You would know the billionaire has the ability to change your life financially. And you'd go to that conference to hear from that billionaire, but you would not walk in with confidence or boldness that your debt's going to get paid off just because they can. See, faith can't rest in the can you. Faith rests in knowing the person that can, that they also will. Now let's change the scenario and say you get a personal invite in the mail from this business person's business team, and you get a personal invite and it's got a number on it, one of whatever, and it says on there, come, going to teach you how to live blessed financially, what to do with your money, and at the end you bring all your bills, you bring all your debts, and we're going to pay off every single one of your debts. That changes things. Now you go into that with a different expectation level. Right? The whole time, whether you got the invite or not, you already knew the business person could. But you didn't have faith, confidence that your bills would get taken care of until the one that could told you they would. And once you find out they would, you're all excited then, and you go in there confidently knowing, things are changing for me. It's the same thing with God. I use this example a lot, but it's worth noting, and it fits in here as when we were building this building, it was $500,000, the addition here. And right at the right when things were about to get started, the building code inspector told us, you need to have a sprinkler system in here. Well, we had already locked up and talked about the funding. And at first, I was like, well, how much is that going to cost? And it started at $40,000, went up to $60,000, $75,000. And it was going to be $75,000 to $100,000 because of having to dig across the road, underneath the road, and just different things with the building. And so I said, do we have to have a sprinkler system? And they checked into it, and the building code inspector, the architect, and the contractor all said it's an unreasonable request for a building this size to have to put in a sprinkler system. And I said, do we have to have it? They tried to, they wrote something up from the contractor, they wrote something up from the architect, even the building code inspector sent it to New York State to see if they would give us a leniency on it because of the size of the building, telling them and testifying, this building does not need a sprinkler system. And they denied it. They said, nope, you got to have a sprinkler system. So now I'm facing, after already locked up $500,000, to have to come up with another $75,000 to $100,000. Well, here's the thing with that. They started to put the sprinkler system. And if you go out back here, you can go into our mechanical room. You'll see on the side of the wall the start of a sprinkler system. I told them, stop. Can you keep working without putting this in? Yeah, we have some time. We can keep working before we have to put in. But, you know, they can't wait till the end because they got to put it up under the, you know, the drywall and different things and install it. I said, can you wait? Yeah, we can hold off. I said, okay, hold off as long as you can. I got to find out what to do here. So I began to seek God because here's the thing. The Word generally tells me He'll meet all my needs. So I knew that it was going to get taken care of. But let me help you something to be skillful here. A lot of times, we like to put our own spin on things. What do I mean? Well, I'm going to start a business and God's going to bless it. And they bring the business here and start doing it and it flops. Why? God was never in it. Well, I'm going to do this and that. It's like, I love this story. There's at Rhema, the Bible school I went to, there was a person who the Holy Spirit, the Word of God told him, or her, I can't remember if it was him or her, to sow your car into somebody that needed a car. Give your car away. Well, they gave their car away, and within a matter of weeks, they were blessed with a brand new one. So all the other Rhema students had a light bulb go off. They said, we know how to get a new car. Just get rid of the one we have. Just give it to somebody, and God will bless us with a new one. Well, guess what? There was a whole lot of students walking to school that semester. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's one of the famous ones that happened down there. Why? Because people think they can just do it whatever. Well, I can't just assume how God's going to do this. I knew there were two ways that I could go about this. Number one, either New York State's going to change their laws, or number two, I'm to believe for the money. Well, I can't just take what's easy to me. Right. And I'll be honest with you, you know what was easy for me? The $100,000 was way easier for my brain and my flesh than to believe for New York State to change its laws for us. Why? I had just gone through major financial tests and trials years earlier, and it doesn't move me. $100,000 is not a big deal to me. It just isn't. I've seen God do too much. And so I was hoping, Lord, yes, just let us believe for more money. See, but I can't just take that to Him and say, that's the way we're supposed to do it. If God's not in it, it's like, hey, Naaman, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. No, thanks, I'm going to dip in this river instead. I'm going to do it my way. No, you can't do it your way.
Right.
Healing's available to you, Naaman, but there's a way to go about it. So I said, Lord, what do we do? And He said, you will not have to put a sprinkler system in. That came so clear as day in prayer. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to have to believe that New York State law is going to change just for me. And I couldn't wrap my mind around that, so I just kept going over. What does He say? Faith comes by hearing. I just kept saying to myself, you said we won't have a sprinkler system. You said we won't have a sprinkler system. You said we won't have a sprinkler system. Why? I'm building that faith up.
Yeah.
And then I got to the place I was so convinced. The contractor would keep calling me. Can we go ahead in the sprinkler system? No, just hold off, Jay. Not yet. Just hold off. Well, we're running out of time. That's okay. Just hold off. And I'd call him every once in a while. Jay, do we still have to have that? He'd say, Pastor Mike. You know, they're real careful when you're paying them, you know, to how they talk to you. But he's trying as unannoyed as he could sound to me. Pastor Mike, I've told you, the building code guy, the contractor, the architect, you can't get out of this. I said, okay. And the thoughts would come. I said, no, Father, you said, I've already received it. We're not going to have to put a sprinkler system in. See, I didn't choose that route because I was afraid of going the financial route. Amen. It's true. A lot of people, I had one person years ago, wouldn't receive their healing. Want to know why? They were on disability. They knew the money would go away. Now, they weren't going at it from a place of being a leech or a mooch. They were at it from a place of fear that if I get healed, I'm going to lose all my money. Well, where does the Bible say that God's going to heal you and then cause you to be broke? How about we believe for the healing and the provision? But see, people take things, do things their own way. And I didn't just go that way because I didn't want them to believe for the money or if it would have been vice versa. I'm doing whatever He says. So the thoughts would come. I'd be on my walk with my dog and the thoughts would come during the day. I'd say, nope. Talk to the contractor. He says, nope, you got to have it. I'd get off the phone and say, no, we don't. He don't have the information I have. He don't have the information I have. And I kept saying it. And I'll tell you what, it was getting closer and closer to like, Pastor Mike, we can't go forward anymore. We're halted until you tell us we can do the sprinkler system. Well, it wasn't another couple days after that. I get a text message from him, the contractor. He said, you're never going to believe this. I bet you I will. He said, you're never going to believe this, Pastor Mike. New York State just had whatever, something in the courts where they changed the laws. For some reason, this stupid thing came up. Out of all the unimportant things in the world, this thing came up before the courts, and somebody was influenced to say, that's stupid for a building. It wasn't our thing. It was just generally it came up. And they passed a new law now. Building our size did not need to have a sprinkler system. Exactly what God said was going to happen. But how can I be so confident, which is required to receive, when professionals, and you all know how much of a dummy I am when it comes to tools and buildings and things. I'm not very smart. I had a guy helping me with a four-wheeler the other day, and I put the battery in wrong, and sometimes it started, sometimes it didn't. He's like, your stuff's not touching. Well, I don't know what the stuff is, but the stuff wasn't touching in the right place. And so I needed help. I'm ignorant when it comes to this stuff. So how can someone like me, who doesn't know a thing about buildings, and telling them, nope, don't do it, telling the pros who are telling me it's not going to happen, you got to do it. How can someone keep saying, just hold off? One thing and one thing only, the will of God. I knew the will of God. That was it. I knew the will of God. Go with me to 1 John 5 and verse 14. Let me guess, Miranda's in the nursery today. That's what I thought. You say, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything good for you. I'll tell you that, if you're visiting with us, when that lady's in the nursery, that's when I preach the longest. I'm going to get us out of here soon. Don't worry. I'm not going to ruin your life here this morning. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. But I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Change your life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Now, there was a cake on my desk, and you said it was from Miranda. She was trying to suck up to me to get me to go shorter. That's what I know. You guys, you people work out there. Hallelujah. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now remember, what does he say? In my presence you want to receive, you better be bold. Mark 11:24. In the place of the need and the prayer, you are to be so confident that you got it. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you experience. So he's saying you got to have the boldness and the confidence. Well, look at the good news in 1 John 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence. He's telling you right here. This is it. That if we ask or come to him with anything according to his will. See that there? What's the confidence lie in? His will. He hears us, verse 14 says. So the Bible says if we come to him with what his will is, he hears us. And if we know, verse 15, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. How do we have a 100% successful prayer life where things that we need change? Number one, confidence. Where does the confidence come from? His will. When you know that he wants it for you, it doesn't matter what the natural's saying. Remember last week we looked at when Jesus walked on the stormy water and he came to Peter and they thought it was a ghost and Peter said, well, if it's really you, Jesus, tell me to come on the water. And Jesus opened his mouth and said, come on. So what was Jesus saying? My will. Remember, Jesus said, I only do what the Father wants me to do. So he's saying, the will of God is that you get out of this boat and walk on that water. Well, he's a professional fisherman. Even anybody with the right sense that's not a professional fisherman knows you don't step out of the boat without a life preserver in the storm. He stepped right out of that boat, and the Bible says he walked on water. Well, what would give Peter, who knows the boat is safety, in a storm, what would give him the boldness to step out in the midst of that? One thing and one thing only. It was the will of God. The will of God told him, come out in the midst of the storm. That's why if you get the will of God in the midst of your symptoms, in the midst of your financial problems, in the midst of your family issues, and everything you're going through, if you know God's will, those other things don't matter. And they won't move you off of faith. And you'll stay in faith for him, praise God. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Isaiah 43, 26. Praise God. Praise God. I wish you could go back with me when I was in my 20s, early 20s, and God spoke to me and told me to go to Rhema, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to Bible school. And I was in a place of having no money, no financial help from anybody. Nobody trusted me. I had tried about everything you could try, colleges, jobs, different institutions and organizations, different things. And now I told my family, I'm going to study to be a preacher. And they said, we're not helping you. Have fun on your own. And so I left to go to Rhema, 18 hours away in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in a 1990 Nissan pickup with rust all over the thing, 200-some thousand miles on that thing. The only money I had in my pocket was enough to pay my first month of rent for school and my first tuition and my first month of rent at my apartment. Had nothing else. Knew nobody out there. Basically, it was an Abraham moment. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to go, and Abraham said, sir, yes, sir, and just started going. And that's what I did. He told me that's all the money I had. That's all the help I had. I knew when I got there, I had to get a full-time job to pay for things, and I was going to have to believe God for the rest of the money because I was hurting. Well, what would cause me, somebody who had just come off of 26 jobs in 2 years before I'd gotten born again, who's so unreliable, who's so timid, so shy back then, so nervous about everything, to get in a truck by myself for the first time and drive 18 hours away, with no money for the year, no money, no help, nobody on the side saying, if you need something, what could cause me to be so bold? One thing only. I knew his will. Yeah. That was it. He spoke to me, said, go to Rhema. Well, I know something about God. When he says something, he provides the need for that. Amen. Amen. All over the Bible, when he said to go do something, he had the supply for it. And I remember being in that vehicle and knowing, my goodness, this thing overheats. I don't know if, you know, naturally, is it going to make it? How am I going to get there? What am I going to do when I get there? And I just remember going to him saying, Father, and I'll show you in this verse, you told me to go to Rhema. I didn't come up with this on my own. It's like stinking wilderness land out here. I don't want to go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And maybe it's better now, but I didn't like it back then. And I said, you told me to go. If this truck has to make it, you have to supply my tuition. You have to supply my rent. You have to take care of me because you told me to do this. Well, you say, that's kind of brash and bold. No, it's just doing what the Bible says. God said through the prophet, put me in remembrance. What's he saying? Remind me of what I've said to you. Well, you can't remind him of what he said to you if you don't even know what his will is. Well, he told me to go to Rhema. So I reminded him over and over. Every time the thought would come, he said, I want to remind you, Father. When it didn't look like my bills were going to be paid. Do you know how many times supernaturally I'd show up to the counter at the tuition desk to pay my tuition and to have to tell them, I don't have the money, can I get an extension? They say, oh, you're already paid up, Mr. Anderson. Somebody paid it for you. Happened to be over and over and over again. Amen. Amen. People coming up to me and saying, the Lord told me in service someone needed money around here. And I checked, was it the person in front, person right? No, it wasn't. And so I said, Lord, is it him? He said, yep, put money down in my pocket here. Happened to be all the time. Why? God was providing for me. But what was I constantly doing? Reminding him. Father, remember, you said, my kids do that to me all the time. Dad, you said we're going hunting Saturday. Dad, you said we're going hunting Saturday. Remember, Dad, you said we're going hunting Saturday. Dad, you said we go get ice cream tonight. Dad, you said, what are they doing? Put me in remembrance. What are they doing? Being bold in my will. Hallelujah. Let us plead together. Declare thou. What's declaring thou? Father, you said this. My body's saying this, my finances are saying this, my situation's saying this, but you said this. And if you'll declare it out and stay in faith, the Bible says you will be justified. What's that mean? It will come to pass for you. Amen. But it's all centered around his will, because if you know he wants it, nothing can stop it except your doubt and unbelief. That's it. The symptoms can't stop him. The money can't stop him. Remember, we just got done with a 4-week series telling you that abundance has nothing to do with your paycheck. Your paycheck cannot stop abundance. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll close on this verse, James 1 and verse 5. Praise the name of Jesus. I have a secret admirer. Secret chicken barbecue admirer in here. Whoever you are, wow. I feel special. Praise God. I better be careful. You all accuse me of putting pressure on that person to keep doing it. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now here we go. Here's your answer, folks, what you need to do from here on, going forth. Because you have to get emboldened. The only way you're going to get emboldened is to know it's what God wants for you. Number one, find his will. His will is found in the Word of God. But how many of you know the Word doesn't have every specific thing in it, right? I told the story of God blessing me with a $250,000 home when I had a salary of $20,000 and no money in the bank account. Remember I told you that story? Well, I can't just go with $20,000 salary, knowing what I pull in a month, to a home that's $250,000. You know what? I like that. And because I like it, that's mine. You can't just do that with things. You'll find out real quick you can't do that with things. But if God says this house is yours, then don't matter what I make, right? And it all centered around what? Knowing His will. So the first thing you do about your issue or your problem is, what does the Bible say about it? That tells you what God's take is on the subject. Say, I don't know what it is. Well, that's why you have a pastor. Call me, tell me. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Well, I'll give you the word on it. Why? To get your faith on that thing. Because until you get your faith on it, you won't have boldness for it. But there are things like, you know, whether or not, should I take this job? Should I, you know, this person, you know, just because someone smiles at you real nice and is pretty or good looking doesn't mean you should. A lot of those things are nothing but pretty packages with a nice bow and ribbon on them with a stick of dynamite in the box. And you can't see it, but he can, right? So which way to go? Do I take this job? Do I go with this relationship? Do I do this? Do I do that? Is this the right car? Is this the right home for me? Well, there's not scripture on that, but there's a Holy Ghost. And look at what James chapter 1 and verse 5 says. If any of you lack wisdom, well, if you don't know what to do about a situation and the word doesn't clearly spell it out, then guess what? You lack wisdom. Because God's not confused at what you should do. God's not ever up there saying, that's a tough one, let me think about it. No, he already knows. He knows the answer. And he says, if you lack wisdom, look what he says to do. Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. What's that mean? He doesn't withhold. And it shall be given him. What job? What spouse? What should I do about this? It's not in the word. What? Oh, I don't know. Maybe just ask him. Yeah. Ask the all-knowing one. And what did he say? If you'll ask me. Doesn't it say ask, you receive? You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. For the things that are specifically spelled out in the word, it's like people come to me and say, I'm really seeking God on what I should do about the tithe. You don't need to. He already tells you. I'm really seeking God on if I should go to church or not. Don't need to. It's already in here. I'm really seeking God on, does he want to meet my needs? You don't need to. He already said he wants to. Amen? But there's specific things that the word doesn't spell out for your life, but the Spirit of God, that's why he's given to you, to show you things to come. And you say, Father, I don't know what to do about this. How in the world can I believe this? It seems way too big. Find out what his will is. Get that in your heart. Believe God and watch yourself walk into change. It's not hard. You make it hard. Tripping up how God does things. It's simple. It's easy. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just told you today how to receive, how to change your life. It all centered around God's will. Hallelujah. If you have any questions, you let me know. Praise God. I'm available to you all the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, we're grateful. We have our marching orders. It all stems from your will. Because if you want it for us and you say we can have it, ain't nothing going to stop it except our doubt and unbelief. But we're going to get out of the way. So, Father, I thank you for the change in people's lives. If they need healing, if they need prosperity, situations with their children, if they're believing for a spouse, if they're believing for children, Father, they're believing for a situation to turn around, someone's coming against them, they need favor, they need protection, whatever it is, Father, every promise you have made to us will cover every area of our life. You love us. You are an all-consuming, all-blessing God, and I thank you for it. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody in here, if you would bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. I'm not trying to be bossy when I say that. I'm trying to make people feel comfortable and not embarrassed or self-conscious. But I'll tell you what, the greatest promise that he ever gave was eternal life and salvation. I mean, there's nothing that compares to it. And he's made it simple and he's made it easy for us to receive that from him. Now, I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what you grew up thinking about God or what you've seen on the movies or media or friends or other ministers. But I'm here to tell you what the Bible says about going to heaven. Because God wants you to leave this place knowing that you know that when your last day on planet Earth comes, you're heaven bound. I'll tell you, there's great peace in that. And let me tell you what heaven's not dependent on. Your church attendance. Whether you've been faithful to go to church or not faithful, can't get you into heaven, can't keep you out. Whether you've been a good person or you could say, you know what, I have some really bad things in my past. Doesn't matter. Your good works can't get you in. Your bad works can't keep you out. Whether you say, I've been generous or cheap, can't get you in, can't keep you out. And listen to what I'm saying here. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. You don't ever have to step foot in this church again. You never have to step foot in a church ever again to receive heaven. Now, I know that's different than what religion will tell you, but that's what the Bible says. Jesus said in John 3:16, whosoever would just believe on me would not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't say anything about how good or bad they were. He didn't say anything about habits or addictions. He didn't say anything about church attendance. I know that's what the church world and religion wants you to believe to make you think you're not good enough, but he says right now, I love you and want you. Yeah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up. I won't have anybody come forward. I won't have anybody say anything on their own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, say, am I qualified to receive Jesus? There's only two qualifications. One, you believe in him. Two, you receive him into your heart. That's it. That's it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is anybody here before we close the service? You're on the fence of eternity. You don't know. Listen, again, you don't ever have to step foot in here again. It's a free gift. Anybody want to receive Jesus this morning and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? Would you lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it down? Don't let this moment pass you by. There's something. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. This isn't about religion and joining a church and, you know, changing. No, it's just about accepting the free gift of Jesus. That's how wonderful he is. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody else, before we close the service, you say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Lift your hand high in the air. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all. I saw the hand in the back. You can put it down. We've had two hands. That's why I don't rush this, because sometimes people are shy, but you need to know I'm not out to embarrass you. Anybody else, before we close, you say, how do I know? Your heart's telling you. Your heart's saying, don't miss this, don't miss this. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close? Lift your hand high in the air. Anybody before we close as I look around? Father, I don't see any other hands, so I trust that if there are other people here, that they would not let another moment pass them by. And just to reassure everybody, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believe in Jesus and ask him in your heart. So we had two people raise their hand. We don't know how many people online that are watching that need to do this, or people in here that didn't raise their hand but maybe should have. We're going to pray a prayer, all voices together, in declaring that Jesus is Lord and our belief in him and asking him into our heart. So those people that raised their hand, those that should have, those watching online, along with everybody else in the church, go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can look up here if you prayed that for the first time. Congratulations. You know, I know that's not what the world or religion will teach us, but look up the verse Romans 10:9 when you leave here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth, God say it with your mouth, and believe in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. Praise God. Well, at this time, we're going to take up communion. Communion is a time of reverence and honor and a time of worship where we remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The Bible says to do this. And so we're going to put a song on. Just ask that you just be in worship and praise over what he's done for you and to be reverent. So come forward, brothers, and wait on the people. Again, if you don't want to take communion, you don't have to. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Josh. Thanks. Thank you, Steve. And your goodness. Thank you, Master, for what you've done. You're so good, so faithful to us, so kind, so merciful, so generous. Love you, bless you, worship you. for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Bless your holy name. Jesus. I never want to take it for granted. So faithful, so kind, so good, so merciful. First Corinthians 11 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread and break it and go ahead and eat it. Father, I thank you that the bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us so that we could walk in healing. Jesus, thank you so much for the price that you paid for me and for everybody else. We thank you it was your body that was broken so that ours could be whole. And in verse 25, it says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Go ahead and drink. Now, Father, I thank you that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on Calvary for the remission of our sins, covering every blemish, every wrongdoing that we ever had, making us white as snow in your presence. So, Father, we thank you for the blood and the body of Jesus. We reverence that. We remember that. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at the end of service, if you're in the middle section, pass your cups and stuff towards the end of the aisle. Same on the ends here. Pass it towards the aisle. But I want to remind you when you leave, don't forget that we have service Wednesday night. If you have kids in nursery, please go get them. Children's church kids are going to meet Miss Julie in the back. That's ages 5 to the 8-year-olds that are in there can get a prize. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's stand up and worship him. Hold on. I'm picking that stuff up yet. One second here. Let's just stand up and worship him. Father, we praise you and magnify you. We glorify you and honor you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, if you need prayer, come forward. Love you. Appreciate you. See you Wednesday. You're dismissed.